Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. My name is Andrea, and this is Adult Child. Welcome back to Adult Child, where we take a deep dive into the impact of growing up in a dysfunctional family. Ahoy, my dear shit shows. For any new listeners, my name is Andrea. I am a total and complete shit show. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I am a recovering adult child. I'm a recovering Candy Crush addict. You know, I don't think I've shared this yet on the podcast. I haven't played Candy Crush in months, y'all. For anybody who doesn't know, I had a severe, yes, severe, I wish I could be joking right now, but I'm not. I had a severe Candy Crush addiction. It is no joke, y'all. Candy Crush is no joke. You know, I bought this book about phone addiction, and it was talking about King Games. That's who makes Candy Crush, all the Candy Crush games. And they are like legit the Mexican cartel of phone games. And I really hope that nobody listening right now works for King Games or their family member does or something. But like, no joke, the way that they design all of those games is to absolutely hook us. And I got absolutely hooked. But a few months ago, I deleted the app off my phone. Now, I've done this many times before. I then re-downloaded the game on my phone several hours later, which I've also done many times before, except for this time, guys, it would not let me log back into my account, which meant that I would have to start on level one, which I was on like level 8 million bajillion zillion. I don't know what level I'm on, but I'm telling you that I would probably be too embarrassed to tell you if I could tell you what it was. It's that bad. So I had no interest in starting back at level one. Thank God for that, right? So it's been several months since I've played. I'll be honest, I have a Sudoku game on my phone that I play, but it does not hook me in the same way that Candy Crush does. Like, there's no level aspect to it. You can only just, you know, play one game of Sudoku. You can set the difficulty level, but that's it. And so, yeah, it just does not give me that hit, that fix like Candy Crush did. So that's a positive, right? That's positive. So if you're new here, this is where we talk about all the various components of what happens when you grow up in a dysfunctional family, from complex trauma to toxic shame, abandonment wounds, people pleasing, and all those fun, light, fluffy topics, and what to do about it, how to heal from it. This is where we talk about serious shit, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. And today, guys, we are diving deep with just me. Yes, just me. You're getting a solo episode. You were supposed to get a solo episode last week. That did not happen. As you saw, you didn't get any episode. And I will explain to you exactly what happened, because it was like a first. I think this was a first for me. So last week, as I'm working on the episode, I found myself living inside of the topic that I was doing the episode about. So I was working on an episode that was going to be about the drama triangle, and I got stuck, like really stuck, like bang your head against the wall stuck, trying to figure out how I wanted to explain how to break free from it. Now, for anyone who might not be familiar, the Cartman's drama triangle. It's a model that describes dysfunctional relationship dynamics where people play one of three roles. So there is the victim role, that's like feeling powerless and stuck, the persecutor, which is kind of this blaming or attacking role, and then the rescuer, which is the one that tries to fix and save the other roles. And so these roles keep people trapped in cycles of conflict and emotional reactivity, and they happen in relationships. But guess what? And as I personally experienced myself, they can happen just even within yourself. So I was getting really stuck because explaining how to get out of the drama triangle, it isn't something that can really be, you know, summed up neatly without giving you some fluff bullshit response. And I obviously didn't want to do that. I also didn't want to spend 4 hours unpacking all of the nuances of it. And so I felt myself caught between wanting to give you something meaningful and not knowing how to package it in a way that actually felt helpful. And so then without even realizing it, I found myself sucked into the drama triangle with myself. So I went into the victim role and I was telling my things like, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. You know, I don't know what to do. What's wrong with you? I'm not going to be able to do this. And before you knew it, I then switched into the persecutor role where I'm like attacking myself for waiting until the last minute, for struggling at all, like telling myself like, what the hell is wrong with you? And you know, this should be easy for you for now. By now, you've been podcasting for so long, and it honestly was the talk was a lot more vicious than what I'm explaining. It got pretty dark. I'll be honest, it got pretty dark, and so I was in just this spiral of criticism, of self-doubt, of overwhelm, of self-hate, and I couldn't get it to stop. Like I couldn't get it to shut the fuck up. And eventually, it was like around 1 a.m., I just totally broke down and just started hysterically crying. And it was like everything that I've been carrying, the grief, the stress, the unresolved feelings, it just all bubbled up to the surface. And I'm not just talking about, you know, this podcast episode anymore. It was about everything that I've been trying to hold together while also feeling like I'm barely treading water. And, you know, as I sat with everything that came up, the frustration, the breakdown of all of this shit coming up, I realized something that I have been avoiding of trying to pretend like it's not there, and that is that I am emotionally exhausted. Like not just tired, not just overwhelmed, but deeply, soulfully drained. Emotional exhaustion is a sneaky fucker. It doesn't just, you know, knock on the door and announce itself. It creeps in slowly. It shows up in little ways when the things that, you know, used to bring you joy start to feel like a chore, or when you're just going through the motions, but you don't really feel like you're moving forward. And for me, it has just been this constant juggling act of trying to process my own grief and pain. Which, you guys, there has been a lot. There has been so much that has happened over the past year and a half. You know, it all kicked off last April, where it was just this series of events that really just opened me back up and revealed these wounds, in particular, these like abandonment trauma wounds that still needed to be healed. And it has just been like a hell of a time since then, of just a lot of really painful situations, a lot of losses. And, you know, the real cherry on top was having to put my cat down in September And then the other aspect to this is what's going on with my family. You know, both of my parents are in deep, deep alcoholism. And you know, I was sharing last night in one of our shit show groups about how when I first started this podcast, I put so much thought into what do I want to share about my parents? Because, you know, I wanted to be honest, but I also didn't want it to be like I was throwing them under the bus or talking shit about them, because the truth was that things were had actually been a lot worse, a lot more toxic in the years leading up to me starting the podcast than they had been when I was a child. But I made the decision that I wasn't really going to talk about what was currently going on in the present as it related to their alcoholism. And so you couldn't really tell in those beginning episodes. I think you might have thought like maybe my parents were both sober, but the fact was, no, that they weren't. That, you know, now not only is my mom was an alcoholic, but that my dad, you know, had also become an alcoholic. And I will just say that they both have been very supportive and loving about this podcast in the way that they can be. So I do want to give them that. I think a lot of people's parents could just write them off and be really pissed off. And they've been supportive in that respect. I mean, obviously they don't listen to the podcast and they can't be like, oh, tell me about the episode or whatever. But they also aren't like trying to kill me for having this podcast. But, you know, so as time went on, as I continued to do this podcast, and as things have just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse, I realized that by not sharing about what is going on with them is me essentially abiding by the don't talk rule. It is me, you know, keeping family secrets, and I have every right to express what is currently going on. It's my pain. It's my story. I'm not going to tell you all the nitty gritty details, but it really fucking sucks. It really fucking sucks to watch both of your parents die from alcoholism, especially as an only child. And then that is coupled with the fact that while I've made such great, I've had tremendous growth and healing as it relates to the boundaries that I've set in place with them, the way that I handle them, I really have learned how to not participate in the dysfunction while also not participating in the family denial. They don't trigger me in the ways that they once did. However, you know, I'm still working through these wounds from my childhood that have kept me tied to them in certain ways, that have kept me in the dysfunction in certain ways and relate to my beliefs of not feeling like I can truly take care of myself. And that is manifested in various ways of self-sabotage and procrastination. And so that is stuff that I'm working on now. That's largely what all this stuff is that has come up for me. But so there is the shame element of it too, that like I'm not fully disconnected or out of that dysfunction completely, but it's really hard. They're really, really sick, and it is it's tragic. But I digress. So as I was saying, it has just been this constant juggling act of trying to process my own grief, my own pain, while also showing up for my work and for my community. And I have just been so focused on holding space for everyone else that I have left no space for myself. And when you do that long enough, it catches up to you. And the thing about emotional exhaustion is that it's not just about doing too much. It is about feeling too much without there being a release. For those of us carrying unresolved grief, which is like all of us listening right now, whether it's from childhood, from relationships, from ongoing loss, Our emotional reserves get depleted faster than the average Joe. Grief isn't just sadness. It is the weight of unmet needs, of unspoken pain, of unprocessed memories. And when you're carrying all of that while still trying to keep it all together, it's like trying to pour from a cup that is already empty. And that is where I've been. Running on empty, running on fumes, feeling like I'm treading water but not actually getting anywhere. My creativity hasn't been there. It's been hard to focus. It's been hard to concentrate. I get frustrated so easily. I've lost some of my passion and some of my interest in something that I absolutely love. I've just felt stuck and unsure how to move forward or even imagine a future when I have just been trying to survive. But here is where, you know, the breakthrough came. I realized that I can't keep going on this like this. Like, I can't keep pushing through this without pausing to process everything I've been through, to grieve, to rest, to heal. And as much as taking a break scares the shit out of me, it is the most loving thing I can do for myself right now. It is absolutely necessary. So I have decided that for the rest of December, I'm not going to be creating any new podcast episodes. Instead, I will be sharing replays of some oldies but goodies, episodes that I know you will still resonate and hopefully will offer you the insight and the support that you need. I will still be very active in the shit show community, but hopefully receiving a little bit more than giving. And I want to be honest that this really terrifies me. Like, there is a part of me that worries that I'm letting you all down, that I'm abandoning you, or even worse, that if I step back, that you'll abandon me. That you'll abandon me, you'll forget about me, you'll move on. But deep down inside, I know that that is not true. I do know that. So what I do know is this. Taking time is necessary. And my hope is that by being honest about where I'm at, I can give you permission to do the same. If you're feeling drained, burned out, or like you're barely holding on, I want you to know that it's okay to pause. It is okay to rest. It is okay to let go of that idea that you have to hold it all together. It is okay to not be okay. Let me repeat that. It is okay to not be okay. Because sometimes the most courageous thing that we can do, it isn't pushing through. It is choosing to stop, to take a damn breath, and trust that the world will still be there when we're ready to come back to it and it will be better than ever, okay? But before I depart on my break, we are going to talk about this a little bit more. So as I reflected on everything that it came up for me last week, it became clear that what I've been feeling isn't just emotional exhaustion, it is burnout. And for many of us who grew up in dysfunctional families, burnout can feel almost inevitable. Burnout is more than just feeling tired or overworked. It is a state of complete emotional, mental, and physical depletion caused by prolonged stress and overwhelming demands. Oh, and that's another thing that I forgot to mention is that I also found out like 2 months ago that I have stage 2 disc degeneration in two of my, what are they, vertebrae in my neck. Yeah. Remember I talked about my damn cobra hood? Well, it turns out that like basically almost all of, I don't know, the space between my discs or I don't know what the hell it is. All I know is that I am in the stage right before needing to have surgery. So that's also something that I'm trying to focus on and get the healing there that I need. But so burnout. It is what happens when you've been running on empty for so long that there is nothing left in the tank. Not for others and nope, not for yourself. So burnout is made up of, there's three main aspects to it. So let's break them down and I'll share what they look like. So we have this emotional exhaustion piece. So this is the most obvious aspect of burnout, that feeling that you are completely drained with nothing left to give emotionally. This might look like you feeling like you're constantly running on fumes, even after resting. Everyday tasks like answering emails or running errands feel overwhelming. You may find yourself snapping at people or feeling irritated over small things. Then we have depersonalization or detachment. And so this is when you start to feel numb or disconnected, either from your work or from your relationships or even from yourself. I have felt that. I have felt disconnected from certain aspects of my true self. And it's like a defense mechanism where your mind checks out to avoid feeling overwhelmed. It may look like you feel like you're just going through the motions without any real connection. It could be you are emotionally distant from your loved ones, or even you start to isolate yourself. Or it could be that things that used to matter to you, like hobbies or goals, feel meaningless or unimportant. And then the third aspect of it is a loss of sense of accomplishment. So this is when you stop feeling satisfaction or pride in what you do. And it can make everything feel pointless, even things that you once loved or value. So you might question whether anything you do is good enough. You may lose interest or passion for your work, for relationships or creative projects. And achieving goals may feel hollow, like it doesn't even really matter. But burnout doesn't just affect your emotions. It also impacts your brain. And research has shown that burnout is linked to declines in three main cognitive areas. I feel like I can relate to all three of these. So memory, you may struggle to remember details, conversations, or even tasks you've already completed. Your attention, so it becomes harder to focus, to stay present, or concentrate on what you're doing. And then executive functioning, so your ability to plan, organize, and make decisions can feel foggy or impaired, making even simple choices feel overwhelming. And when your brain is overloaded by chronic stress, it goes into survival mode. It prioritizes immediate reactions over higher level thinking. And this is why burnout can feel so all-encompassing, because it's not just emotional or physical, it's cognitive too. Now, burnout doesn't just happen overnight. It is the result of caring too much for too long, often without us even realizing it. And when you add unresolved grief or trauma to that mix, burnout can feel even more intense, because it's not just about the present. It is about all of the pain and the pressure that you have been carrying for years. So I wanted to talk about the connection between burnout and functional freeze. So burnout leaves us emotionally and physically depleted, as I said. And when the stress becomes too overwhelming to manage, that is when our nervous system can shift into functional freeze, a survival response where we feel stuck, unable to act, or trapped in overthinking. So instead of fighting through or escaping, you know, the demands that are on us, freeze becomes the nervous system way of saying, like, I can't handle this shit anymore. Enough. It is an automatic response designed to protect us. But it can also leave us feeling extremely powerless and frustrated. Ugh, boy, does it ever. And here is how this has showed up for me. So procrastination. And this doesn't have to do with us being lazy or not caring, but it's literally because every task feels overwhelming, like we are climbing up a damn mountain without the energy to even take the first step. Spinning your wheels. So you feel like you're doing a lot, but not actually moving forward at all. And then there's, like, for me, this feeling of being stuck, where it's this, like, heavy, paralyzing sense that, you know, no matter what I do, it feels like it won't make a difference. So, like, why even bother? And overthinking everything. So your mind just goes into overdrive. You're analyzing every possible outcome. You're trying to solve problems that feel impossible, maybe even trying to solve problems that don't even exist. And ultimately, it leaves you feeling more overwhelmed than when you started. Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And functional freeze is also a sneaky bastard because, you know, on the outside, it might look like you're doing nothing, but on the inside, your nervous system is working hard, working overtime just to manage the stress. And it's not that you're choosing to avoid action. It's literally your brain and your body saying, again, I can't handle this shit. I can't handle anymore. And putting the damn brakes on. This has shown up for me like just like a feeling like I'm stuck in molasses. And, you know, I'll sit down to work on something like an episode or like a social media post. And instead of making progress, I just get caught up into this overthinking hellhole on every single little detail. Or I'll just avoid starting altogether because the task feels so overwhelming that it's like easier to put it off when it's not even a task that really is overwhelming. And then I beat the shit out of myself for procrastinating, which just makes the freeze even worse. So if this sounds familiar, I hope so. I hope I'm not the only one. You're not alone. What I have to remind myself is that functional freeze, it's not a failure and it's not a lack of motivation. It is my nervous system trying to protect me when it feels like you've hit your limit. And so the key here isn't to force yourself out of it, but try to recognize what's happening, give yourself compassion, and start creating space to recover, which is what the hell I am trying to do. And so the other aspect of this, for so many of us, there is this unresolved grief that is hidden weight behind our emotional exhaustion and behind our burnout. And it's not just the big obvious losses, like, you know, death of a loved one or the end of a relationship, but it can also be the quieter, more insidious grief that comes, our unmet needs, our pain and the wounds that we've just been carrying for years. And when you grow up in a dysfunctional family, grief isn't just a single event. It is a constant undercurrent. It is grieving the childhood that you didn't get, the parents who couldn't show up for you in the ways that you needed them to, and the sense of safety and love that might have gone missing and that you truly deserved. And because this grief goes unacknowledged often, it doesn't go away. It stays with us and it shows up in very unexpected ways. And we don't necessarily know that that's actually what's going on. And so here is how unresolved grief can contribute to emotional exhaustion and burnout. So it amplifies the weight of the present. When we are already carrying old, unprocessed grief, it's like starting every damn day with a full emotional backpack. Add the stress of daily life, and it is no wonder we are feeling depleted. It also drains our emotional reserve. Grief is heavy, even when we don't consciously think about it, or even when we don't consciously know that it's even in there. Carrying unprocessed grief takes energy. Energy that we don't realize that we are expending until we are completely tapped out. And it also, and this goes back to the functional freeze piece, but it keeps us stuck in a survival mode. So unresolved grief keeps us stuck in patterns of hypervigilance, of people-pleasing, or perfectionism. You know, these are all coping mechanisms that we learn to survive that now just leave us feeling drained and disconnected. For me, you know, I've really just been blown away at how my unresolved grief has shown up in such subtle but very powerful ways. And just the grief of constantly fighting to heal while feeling the weight of everything I've lost along the way. And grief, just unresolved grief, just doesn't just add to, you know, the emotional exhaustion, it amplifies it. And the truth is, most of us don't realize we're carrying it until it feels like we can't take another step. So if there is one thing that I hope that you can take away from this episode, again, it is that it is okay to pause. It is okay to step back. It is okay to not be okay. It is okay to give yourself time and space that you need to heal. Taking a break isn't weakness, it's wisdom. It is knowing that you've hit your limit and choosing to honor your humanity instead of pushing through it at your own expense. And addressing emotional exhaustion and burnout isn't about forcing yourself to like bounce back, or, you know, putting pressure on yourself to fix everything at once. It really is just about recognizing what you need moment by moment. That is really what I'm focused on, is just trying to stay in the present moment and just taking small, like really small, super, super small, intentional steps towards healing. And so here are some important things for you to keep in mind, for me to keep in mind, as we are navigating this emotional exhaustion and burnout. So number one is acknowledging what you're feeling. So this is me doing this. The first step always is to give yourself permission to name what the hell is happening and that it's valid. Burnout and exhaustion, they thrive in silence, as does so many other things. So simply admitting it, simply saying it out loud, I'm not okay right now, can be such a powerful act of self-compassion. Two, prioritizing rest. I'm having a hard time with that word. Prioritizing rest. And I really don't just mean physical rest. I really want to put an emphasis on emotional rest. So like giving yourself permission to take a break from your responsibilities, from expectations, or even from emotional labor. Three, lower the bar. So when you're burned out, even the smallest tasks feel like too much. So instead of striving for perfection, for overachieving, can you just focus on doing just enough? Like just enough. Can you ask yourself, what is the smallest, most manageable step that I can take today. Okay? The smallest of the smallest steps. 4 is to reconnect with your body. So this emotional exhaustion disconnects us from our physical self. So I've been doing a lot of breath work. I've been doing a lot of yoga. I've been taking a lot of walks. And all of these things have been helping me feel more grounded and more connected to my body. 5 is setting boundaries. Burnout comes from giving too much of your time, of your energy, of your emotional capacity. And so this might mean saying no. Saying no. No is a complete sentence, y'all. Saying no to commitments, stepping back from toxic dynamics, for creating space in your schedule for yourself to receive instead of just giving, 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 giving. I said that in our shit show meeting on Sunday. I said, I'm sick of just trying to think of something to say that's going to be healing and positive for anyone else. And not that they've put that on me. I put that on myself. I said, you know, I said, I'm taking a break from the podcast, but I'm not taking a break from here. And guess what? I'm in receiving mode now, y'all. I'm ready to receive. And then last but not least, and this ties into this, is like asking for support. You don't have to navigate this alone. I can't navigate this alone. And so I have put it out to this shit show community. You know, I might be the quote unquote leader, but I'm just another shit show on the ship. I'm just a peer. And I'm so grateful for this community that allows me to just show up as me. Like, they let me know that it's okay to not be okay. Like, my head tells me that I should have it all together, that I shouldn't be struggling. And they let me know, girl, you're just another shit show on the ship. It's okay to not be okay. And so I'm so grateful for each and every one of you, truly. Being a part of a community, having support from people who fucking get it, makes a huge difference. I really don't know if it's possible to get out of this shit unless you have adequate support. So I just want to make a little pluggy plug. Well, I'll do that anyways at the end, but damn the Join Shit Show, okay? This is an amazing group of people who are so supportive and so accepting and so understanding. And we just carry each other through whatever it is that we're going through. You know, we just carry each other through. So in a nutshell, to wrap this up in a nice little pretty little bow, healing from burnout, from any of this shit, it's not a quick fix. It's a fucking process. It is about learning to listen to your body. It is about honoring your limits. It is about admitting that you don't need to be okay all the time. It is about building a life that prioritizes your well-being instead of sacrificing it. And as I take this time for myself, my hope is, again, that it gives permission for you to do the same. If you're feeling exhausted, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you feel like you're barely holding on, just know it's okay to pause. It is okay to let go of this need to always be on or to have everything figured out. And so that is what the hell I will be doing. But I will be back in January, and I want to express my gratitude to each and every single one of you. You know, the one thing that I've really been trying to hold on to is like, I'm surprised I haven't gotten emotional the whole episode. I'm so grateful that I have this, like, such an honor to be able to talk to each and every one of you every week. Thank you for continuing to support me every week, and especially those of you who have been listening the whole time. You know who you are. You know, I thought I was a lot more healed when I first started this. I thought I was way more healed. And there is something that is so humbling and yet beautiful about this opportunity that I have to just show up as myself and heal in front of you all. And I do want to keep doing this, and that's why I'm giving myself the break that I need. But thank you for
Just thank you for making a girl feel so seen and heard and understood and accepted. And that's the other thing that I've really been trying to lean into is just, I don't think I sit and acknowledge what I've created as much as I should. Like, I fucking did this shit all by myself. Like, I created this on the floor of my closet. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I didn't have a social media following. I didn't have a podcast experience. I didn't go to podcast school. Yeah, in a very short period of time, I grew a following and I created a community, and this podcast has like changed so many people's lives. So I just love you all so much. And I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. but I know if you're listening by this point that I'm your kind of cup of tea. And yeah, thanks for sipping my tea. I'm so grateful for you all, and I hope you all know that, you know, I do just feel like I'm just chatting with friends every week, and I hope you feel like I'm just talking to you, because I don't think I need to say this. I think you all know this, that I'm just being me here. there is no other version of me that I could put forward, even if I wanted to. So yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, Happy all the things. We are so lucky. That's the other thing too, is like, I hope we can all just really sit and realize how lucky we are to be on this healing journey, because there's so many people out there like my parents who never, most likely never will. And we are the few, you know, we are the few fortunate ones. And the work that we're doing is so hard. It is not for the weak, y'all, but we are really changing the world, and, you know, by passing this on to future generations. And, yeah, I just feel so honored to be a part of a group of people that we truly are just badasses, right? We are just the recovering shit shows. And you know where you can find me? You can find me on the Damn Shit Show Ship, which is my online support community where I host 4 weekly Zoom support groups. I don't know how else I can convince you to join. This is such a magical place. There is nothing else like it out there. It's not for everyone, but for the people that it's for, it is the spot to be, okay? It is the peanut butter to my jelly. And I've never said that before, and I'm never going to say that again. What was that thing that I said a couple weeks ago? Oh, Spodcast. Why didn't nobody ever made a comment that I said Spodcast instead of Spotify? And I thought that Spodcast was really funny. And not one single one of you, not anybody in the shit show, not anyone on social media, not a no one made made a comment about Spodcast. But this is an app. This is where we have a ton of small groups that you can connect with people on specific struggles or interests that you might have, from, you know, shit show parenting to healing from narcissistic abuse to internal family system. We got shit show dudes. We got everything. And so again, this is relational trauma. We heal this through safe relationships. And this truly is a place where you can do so. So especially with the holidays coming up, you'd be a damn fool not to hop on this ship and give it a go. We are waiting for you. So for less than $1 a day, you can quit after a month. So see the link in the show notes and just do it. Okay, just do it. And you can also follow me on Instagram and TikTok at AdultChildPod. I'm sure I'll still continue to post some on social media. And whatever you do, please, please, please give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.